with the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, quarterback, Oklahoma.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, you remember that? When Kyler Murray was the first overall pick, it made no sense because just 12 months prior, they had taken Josh Rosen with the 10th overall. But it's a brand new day as we hear out of our nation's capital that there's actual consideration for Ron Rivera, new to the gig in our nation's capital. Maybe looking at Tua or Burrow or who knows what. Let's get into all of it with our fellas here in Studio 66 and even in the Hoosier State, shall we? And by the way, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are during this draft process season. And, you know, there's never an off season for the NFL, nor is there one for the DDFP. First of all, hello to our main man all the way from London, England. He serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan, currently in possession of that aforementioned 10th overall pick in the 2018 draft, Josh Rosen. It's Handsome Hank. How are you? We don't have, we don't have time for that.
You're better than that.
I just heard, speaking of James Bond, longest James Bond movie ever upcoming. I mean, 2 hours and 40 something minutes long.
I mean, but you can't complain about that, right?
As I always say, I don't like a bad movie if it's 90 minutes or right. 2 hours. I love
just make it good.
If it's a great movie, good, make it 7 hours.
I also heard it will have the longest open. You know how you love a cold open, like mm-hmm. we just heard with Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
it's going to be the longest open before they get to the credits. Sometimes you will sit down and watch a James Bond movie, and you'll be like, oh. I forgot that we've only just started, and then it will remind you by, you know...
Him yeah, then out. We see a silhouetted nude lady
exactly.
shooting a gun shooting at James Bond.
Shooting a gun
at
with a fish that comes out of it right. inexplicably, you know, all that stuff. So
it's the kill what of is the assassin!
What's the movie called this time?
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die!
Ooh, I like the
I
idea
got
that
no
we should
time
just...
to lose!
You know what? I think we've just stumbled into our exercise right. for the next, I don't know how long until the movie opens, but
April,
everyone who comes through that door
has to
must attempt
their own...
a theme song.
Who would be the best person who's regularly on the show that we could ask
well,
right now to
I
come up with
you know
one?
What? A songbird, a man who knows the music industry
songbird.
As well as he knows what's going down in pro football and college football. That's why he helms the coverage of all things draft here at NFL Media. He is also our main man. We love to listen to him on the radio when the Los Angeles Chargers are toiling. Also, on what he's one half of the finest radio show on all the land.
And a friend.
Yeah,
and a friend,
more than anything Dave. Else.
Just
Hanson.
Above
thank
all,
you.
A friend.
He's a. That's you know
nice,
what? That's
Henry.
Not
thank
strong
you.
Enough. He's a brother.
Oh, thank you even more, Mr. Dameshek. Wonderful.
He's Matt Money Smith. What's the poop?
Yeah.
You
fella?
No,
what's
we
happening?
Don't want that music. We don't have time for that. Just Joe. Instead of that music, Money, before you say hello or anything else, just launch in. No Time to Die. What's that theme song going to sound like?
You know what? I'm going to capitalize on the country craze. First
oh.
time ever, right?
Yeah, that would be the first for Bond.
Sleep in my eye. I wipe it out. It's no time to die. I took myself
like
a slice
it.
Of key lime pie.
I like
and
it.
Now I'm having ham on rye. There we go.
I like the idea of Daniel Craig eating some key yeah. lime pie with his lady friend in the bed.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Oh, let's see Rashad Evans top that one. I do encourage you to... Rashad Evans was in with us in Studio 66 just a couple days ago. As delightful a fella as you can cross paths with in pro football. Go back and listen to that one. Some great insights on how he and his defensive pals from Tennessee stopped the high-power Lamar Jackson offense and the intimidation factor or lack thereof of going into Foxborough the week prior. Great stuff with our guy Evans. But now, Matt Money Smith, the thing that people are talking about today, it seems like, is, you know, so much smoke and mirrors, so much nonsense. Let's a lot of jive, hooey and applesauce and otherwise going on at this time of the year out of the mouths of GMs and head coaches and otherwise. But what's your take? You're the voice of those Chargers. Are they really going to roll with Tyrod Taylor?
I'm going to actually, if you don't mind, order off the menu here, go off script, and just kind of address something that we were kicking around prior to us starting the pod.
All right.
and I think you made mention of it, but I think it set a precedent, right? The moment that the Arizona Cardinals took Kyler Murray a year after drafting Josh Rosen high in the first round, it just that's it. It's no longer all hooey and smoke, right? Because someone actually did that. You know, they drafted a quarterback 2 years in a row because they decided, yeah, we barely know if Josh Rosen's going to be great, if he's not going to be great. But we've seen enough from him and we've seen enough from this Kyler Murray kid that we're going to go ahead and take him number one overall. So even though, you know, Ron Rivera said it at the podium or on the podium at the lectern today, yeah, we're going to bring in Burrow. We're going to bring in Tua. I think we would normally dismiss that, but we just saw it a year ago.
Yeah,
new head coach, you know, with personnel power.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And if nothing else, Ron Rivera owes Cliff Kingsbury a debt of thanks because at least it sets him up. Now it's plausible.
Right.
Yeah, we could do that. It's a little bit different because Kingsbury hitched his taking the gig to the ability to take Kyler Murray, even though they denied that at the time. I mean, I guess we could hear the same thing about Ron Rivera after the draft is completed. Maybe there will be, you know, some clarification like, oh, yeah, Coach Rivera required that he be able to replace Dwayne Haskins. Go ahead. Hazel.
Well, Money, can I make a request to you as a Miami Dolphins fan? I would really appreciate every time I hear people talking about Tua on TV, I'm kind of hoping he's going to slide into the Dolphins' laps at number five. Would it be possible for you to speak to some of the producers that you work with at the combine and try and keep him kind of under wraps a little bit and just not talk about Tua and maybe, you know, direct attention to some other players, especially on the quarterback side?
I think Hank, if you want Tua, then you might have to start coming around to the idea that you're only going to pick once in the first round, and that there is. And, you know, look, that's the flip side, right, of what Ron Rivera is doing when he's hearing about what some of these numbers might be and what the draft equity is for an exchange. Throw the Jimmy Johnson chart out the window. And, you know, the Dolphins, if they really want this guy, and it sounds like they really want him, that those first round picks are in play, that they've got multiple seconds in the future as well. And you're going to have to try to compete with that. So if that's the auction that Detroit is holding for Tua, then why would Ron Rivera say, look, Chase Young's a great looking prospect and man, you don't pass up guys like that. But if we're talking about three number ones, how do you not want in on that? Right. Is, you know, you start to weigh out is Isaiah Simmons versus, you know, Chase Young. What does that look like? What is that drop off? And, you know, can we make a case that if you get Simmons instead of Young and two others to help set you up for the future, you know, that's a tough one to figure out, right?
Two others.
But there's a double-edged sword there for the Giants, for the Redskins, rather, because if they do pass on Chase Young and the Giants take him, not only are you the team that passed on him, but you potentially are a team that then has to face him twice a year and be reminded about it.
Yeah, I think there's no way. Then I think Detroit still gets their auction. If they don't want him, I would suspect they would just take him. They would take Chase Young right there.
I'm just talking about if the Redskins are using this as an opportunity to set up the fact that, okay, well, we're open for business and maybe we could take Tua and Miami. If you want him, you're going to have to trade with us. They're then going to have to potentially look across the line at him twice a year.
Okay, wait, let's back up for a second.
We're getting crazy here, with hypotheticals.
Let's go from 5,000 feet to 10,000 and evaluate.
Okay, Dave.
I have been saying this like a broken record for 18 months now about QB saturation, as you guys may have heard me mention one or 7,000 times.
1,000.
I think it's 1,000, Dave.
But that remains the case. You got some high end QBs coming out in a year from now. Have you heard any mention of that? Does Daniel Jeremiah? Does Lance Zierlein? Do you hear any GM say like, we don't have to be desperate. We don't have to comport ourselves like we must get to or reach for the imperfect Justin Herbert or otherwise when we can just wait a year and get Justin Fields
I think here's where you run into problems with that. Then you're projecting a losing season. You know, you're projecting a second consecutive miserable season where you log 2 to 5 wins in order to be in that position. You can't do that. So unless you know you're in a long-term rebuild, you know, and you recognize it's going to take 2 to 3 years, which it's not like the NBA or baseball where you can restock your farm system, right? I mean, we get a worst to first every single year. We get three new teams in the postseason every year. And that's what you got to sell to your fans. So the idea that you would pass on a Jordan Love or a Justin Herbert or a Tua because you want to wait for Fields or Lawrence, it's just it's impossible to sell that, right?
It's also an imperfect process because the Dolphins, in theory, were supposed to be doing that this year and still are picking five. I mean, they were not anticipated by anyone to be winning as many games as they did last season. And yet they almost, and to Money's point, they're going to have to part ways with some picks in order to get the guy that they want, despite having a roster that they basically stripped down.
You know what's also a weird new wrinkle? Let's assume that it does go to, let's assume that as soon as this coming season, that there are two extra playoff teams, and there already are, and so that we literally have half of the NFL in the playoffs every year. We're starting to creep in on that weird spot that I can see how you would get seduced by it. Like if you don't make the playoffs for a couple few years, and all of a sudden, oh, we got to give something good to our fan base. But you don't want to wind up like one of those NBA teams that's perennially like the seventh seed.
I don't think anybody does, right?
That doesn't get you anywhere.
But I just feel like that doesn't really happen. You know, like even I look at the Chargers, right? The team I was with, this was my third year. You know, the first year was 9-7, and that's what you would describe, right? As that mid-pack NBA team. Well, the very next year, you know, they go to Baltimore. They win a wild card game. They tie for the best record in the AFC. You get to New England. It's tied 7-7 in the first quarter, and then it comes apart. But, like, to me, that's not a 7 or an 8 seed. Like, that team believed they were going to win the Super Bowl, that they were going to go into New Orleans to New England at Foxborough, knock off the Patriots, and then having already beaten, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's just the way that football teams think. So it's almost like, hey, can we get in? Because if we can get in, we can win this thing. And, you know, and enough teams like Tennessee just did it. You were talking about Rashawn Evans.
Yeah.
You know, and what the Titans were able to do is a 9-7 team, right? And have a 10-point lead on the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
So, I mean, we don't have to talk about any other position. Quarterbacks are always intriguing, but especially right now, as much as they have as a subject matter of where these big name guys, and it's not just the veterans either. We'll talk about Brady in a second, but I'm interested. And, you know, we spent, Handsome and I, 2 weeks ago, we went in on all the spots that Josh Rosen could be.
Please, let's not
go. I'm not going. I'm telling you, though. He's an interesting wild card.
I think he's an afterthought.
I really think, Dave. I think he's a draft day, fourth round pick from someone.
Doesn't mean that
please just take this guy off our hands.
That's fine. No. I'm not saying he's at the forefront of anybody's 2020 plans, but if Ryan Tannehill could do what he did a couple months ago.
Sure. No. I mean, why not
this guy?
I think it's possible that he could do, but I don't think we need to spend with all.
Okay,
the other
what
big
about? Oh, we will. Okay, one more.
Let's not spend time on
the other wild.
You're about to do it.
Real quick, Dave. Here's what I would just say on that. It's
money
it's not,
must be serious if he's calling me Dave.
No. I just want to. It's because I don't see him because I'm in Indy. It's hard for me to you know whether or not
no
I'm
money shot
anyway,
today. So.
What I think it is too is coaches are, you know, it's a fraternity and there's enough communication around the league that it's not about whether or not Josh gets in the game. It's about, hey, what do you see in a practice? What can you tell us? Right. You know what I mean? I think there's enough of that communication that if there was any heat there or any sizzle, that a team would most definitely already have been making that call and would have probably been making that call last year. Like, hey, you know what? This guy looks really good. I don't know why he's sitting. That would leak out. And I think that you haven't had any of that. It leads me to believe that for whatever reason, yeah, maybe the guy just wasn't scouted right. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. I think something like that would have already happened and we would have heard more about it than it to be dead silent on the topic of whether or not Josh Rosen's going to find a spot.
Okay, well, let's talk about
for a gig.
Let's talk about the 2020 version of that. Then Dwayne Haskins. Let's say that he is made available. Where will there be some interest for him around the league? And if so, where?
It's weird, right? You know, there were people that were kicking and screaming about how can you take Daniel Jones ahead of Dwayne Haskins. And how quickly the shine is off of that diamond. It is odd, but it happened to Rosen. And I don't know if it would happen to Haskins. I don't know if you saw enough. I mean, he certainly had a game, you know, if not a game and a half where he flashed. But I think the problem would be is why are the Cardinals moving on from Josh Rosen in a year? Why are the Redskins moving on from Dwayne Haskins in a year? It's like an AD hiring a head coach in college football, right? You better get it right because that's what gets you fired. And it's the same thing in the NFL. If you're a general manager and you get a quarterback wrong, it's very hard to shake that. And it's a stigma that just travels with you for a while.
And I think, but I think the other side of that coin is that if you're Ron Rivera or anyone else, you're a brand new head coach, you're Matt Rhule. Hey, I don't want to inherit anything. I want my I want to bring in and start fresh. And it also happens to buy you an extra year or three if you are that guy to say, well, you know, to reboot with your own guys does then give you, you know, allows you a 2-14 season, I think.
Right. But if you're being really Machiavellian, then what you do is you stick with who you've got for now. Lose because you probably don't think it's going to work out, and then year two you pick up the quarterback that you really want, knowing that that buys you time because you always have the excuse, well, I only just brought my guy in. And I think for both of those two teams, that's why I do buy that the Panthers, when Matt Rhule is saying, okay, you know, we're into Cam, I think they may well sell off some other assets on the team that you know, with the potential exception of Christian McCaffrey, who they want to keep, and then come back next year and a little bit like they did with Cam way back, kind of tank for Trevor or lose for Lawrence or whatever it is, obviously from the state as well.
Sure.
Knowing that you know, that wouldn't be the worst situation rather than diving into the quarterback this year. Because, Dave, to your point, next year looks from a draft perspective like it's probably even better than the guys were.
Right. And one more thing. I am already belaboring it, and then we'll move on to the big name QBs. But aren't you better off ultimately if Chase Young, here's the comp. It was, we just watched him dominate the Super Bowl, is Nick Bosa. If Chase Young is Nick Bosa, wouldn't you, what GM wouldn't say, just I'll throw it out there, the hypothetical is, yeah, I'll take Dwayne Haskins for a third rounder and Chase Young. Isn't that better than,
I'm with you, Dave.
It remains the coin flip. I know we at this time of perennially, the assumption is, oh, well, it's Tua or Burrow. Which of those two guys do you want? As though both of those guys are guaranteed to be Pro Bowl guys, and it's really more like a 60-40 split that they're going to even make it.
The idea that you can pair Chase Young with Montez Sweat. And Kerrigan is on that line. You know, that's a good, that's a stout line. Like, I would just draft him. I wouldn't even think about it.
It's overthinking.
If you're asking me,
right?
Yeah, just go get Chase Young. I mean, Chase Young and Sweat and the rotation they have on the interior of that line, if guys can stay healthy, yeah, that's to me, that's a no-brainer. You don't even trade out of that spot. Go get him. The most important position on the field is quarterback. It's a cliche. The second most important is the guy that's got to get the quarterback. So if you feel like you are, you know, it's a slam dunk and everyone says this is the best player in the draft, he's just not a quarterback, but he's the best guy, go get him. Don't even overthink it. Just knock that out and figure the quarterback out if he ain't your guy. He was a first-round pick the year before. He had a heck of a career at Ohio State. Scouts thought he was a first-round quarterback. So just figure it out. You know, see if it works. If not, then do, like
again,
you said.
Right, there's going to be quarterbacks available. Now, we have to talk, since we're in the NFC East anyway, and Eddie Spaghetti is seated about 11 feet away from me behind the glass. What do you think about these rumors, Money, that Gettleman is floating or whomever?
What is Joe Judge thinking?
I have
put down the self-help leadership books. That's not how it works. Like you know, everybody got all geeked up about his presser, and then DJ lobs a softball at him, and he goes into this giant diatribe of blank slates and nobody's name means anything and everyone's got to prove themselves. It's like he's a number six pick. He had nice moments last year. Build him up. Celebrate him. The fan base was coming around to liking the idea of Daniel Jones being there next to Eli Manning. And this guy's just like, yeah, we got nothing. No, nobody's – nothing means nothing. Man. It was like listening to Macho Man Savage. I mean, what the hell is he thinking?
Go ahead.
Honey, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Is he's read somewhere that's thought, you're like, that's how we start. That's how we build the team. I don't think it changes anything. May not endear his quarterback to his new head coach, but I don't think it changes anything.
Well, let's see if it endears him to the Giants fans or the Giants fan seated separated behind that glass. Handsome, what about Spaghetti, what about Tom Brady as your 2020 QB?
Yeah, that's the rumor that's going around now, and maybe this is a question that
Tom Brady
that Money can maybe shed some light on, but I've seen some beat writers of the Giants say that the Giants perspective of Daniel Jones is not shared throughout the entire NFL. And that, to me, is the first time I've ever heard this. I read this morning. So I don't know if that's true, that Daniel Jones is not as, as good or has the potential that the rest of the league may not think the Giants do. Like that, I'm very confused by it. Like this came out of nowhere. Unless it's just all
well,
the Giants
I'm thinking it's because. Yeah, it came out of, look, what was the story going in, right? That Dave Gettleman, in all of his years, has never traded down once. And he's sitting at four, and he might have an ability to trade down, and he probably thinks, well, I know how I'll raise the value of my pick by saying I could be the guy that takes Tua. And you got to be careful and make sure you do a deal with me before it gets to Miami at five. If he's still on the board... And it goes Chase Young and whomever else that maybe somebody likes Justin Herbert more and trades up for him, or they like Isaiah Simmons or whatever it might be. I don't understand the idea behind that. I think young quarterbacks need confidence, right? They need franchises to be behind them and say, hey, look, the guy had a fumbling problem last year, but he also had some real nice moments, and we're excited to get weapons around him. It's a deep wide receiver draft. We need a pass rusher. We have nothing on that side of the football right now on edges, and it looks like we might have a chance to get a really special player. Like, I don't get what the positive, what's the net positive of not committing to Daniel Jones publicly after just a single season where he had some really bright moments.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Judge has not named one player by name, which is
so stupid.
It's like a high school football coach thing. And yeah, the thing that's frustrating too is, especially like you just said, you have a guy with a bright future, had some, you know, phenomenal moments, and then you never played a single game with Saquon, Evan Ingram, Shepard, Tate all healthy at the same time with the 70 plus million in cap space with the fourth overall pick in the draft.
That's a lot of info there, right?
It makes zero sense to. Well, I'm just saying. It's like you have somewhat of a future. It makes no sense to do this and move him or sign Brady or make the rest of the league think or the team think that Daniel Jones is not the future.
It remains perennially, no matter how mediocre or great they collectively are. The NFC East teams remain fascinating. Dak down there in Dallas now, that thing sounds like McCarthy doesn't. That resolves itself, right? You don't think he winds up somewhere at minimum with a tag.
He gets franchised. I think that's
at worst, right?
Yes. I think I would be very surprised if they did a long-term deal. I think it's a franchise tag. And if he has a great year, then he'll get his $40 million. If he doesn't, he won't. But that's what I'd do if I were them. I wouldn't hand him a $38, $39 million a year deal after an 8-8 season. Yeah, the numbers were nice and the, you know, 5,000 passing yards, 30 pass. That's great. But the guy was 8-8 and he played terrible in a couple must-win games. And it looks like an offense that should be built around Zeke, not Dak. So I don't know what you get. You know, it goes back to the Jared Goff thing. Like, I never understood that deal. If he's not the centerpiece of your offense, and it's all about I've got to put the perfect pieces around him, and Todd Gurley's got to be great, and Sean McVay's got to call a great, clean game, why am I giving this guy $36 million?
That's right.
Like, just franchise him. Pick up the fifth-year option, franchise him, and give yourself two more years.
5 or 7 years ago, there were legitimately like 10 or 12 really, really great QBs. And the rest you could just throw in a bag and interchange them, and none of them were going to come out particularly great no matter what you did. As I say, QB saturation is kind of like free agency when you're trying to build a starting rotation in baseball all of a sudden, if you're the Yankees or Red Sox or one of those big spending teams. You can afford the luxury of spending to get a 6th and a 7th starter that may or may not turn out. That's what QBing is now all of a sudden, is that you don't have to give up that level of loot because you have next year to fix it if you get it wrong. I think that's exactly right. You should franchise. Same thing with the Titans. I don't know what this hokum is about the game they're playing with Tannehill right now. I think ultimately they do tag him, right? Isn't that the way it goes, that they'll keep Henry long-term and Tannehill
for the
year?
I mean, that's
the
trick there, right, is do you want to give a guy that's taken that many carries, that many hits, even though he is huge, and he's the one, that's what I mean. So wouldn't you rather just franchise him, especially because the franchise number's right around $10, $11 million, as opposed to a franchise number around $27, $28 million? But then again, it's do you want to look, if you're Tennessee, I think you've got decisions to make. I do think it is a destination. I think Phillip Rivers would go there in a second. I think you've got to sit down and evaluate, okay, are we better off with Ryan Tannehill or Phillip Rivers? And then are we better off with Ryan Tannehill or Jameis Winston? Are we better off with, you know, is Tom Brady interested coming to play with Mike Vrabel? I think that's like a legitimate place where you can start going through all these different free agents and potential trade targets and figure out, okay, let's do the would you rather, you know, Ryan Tannehill and quarterback B. And I think that's something they've got to figure out.
But
also, which Ryan Tannehill? Because there are different,
I mean,
there are different flavors of Ryan Tannehill, right. And they got the nice flavor
for the
back end of last season. No doubt he was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but that hasn't been the case throughout his career.
All right, let's play that with Tom Brady quickly. As we all know, I've advocated for Brady to the Chargers for way too long, and now I have jumped off that as a lot of people jumped on it. And
all
I
good
think
things come to a trend.
I think the Titans. I think the tight. Well, look, I mean, look, what was Brady? What was he belly aching about and let off the hook for by the national media all season long? Well, who's he throwing to? He's the GOAT, isn't he? What happened to all the
he
rhetoric?
Elevates.
What? That's exactly what happened
what
to like. Well, he makes everybody
the players
better
around him.
Well, apparently he doesn't. It's
unless
circumstantial,
they're not good.
Right? Unless yeah, if they're not. Yeah. So. That being said, you drop him in there with those young pass catchers with the Titans and presumably Derrick Henry behind him, and for the most part, a pretty good physical offensive line.
Not that good. I mean, that offensive line struggled last season. Again, they got better towards the back end of the season, but the Titans' offensive line was not necessarily...
I think it's league average. I think it's league average to a little bit above league average, right? I mean, with Conklin and Luan and...
But they may not have... I mean, if they retain
right.
Henry,
I think
they
if you get Brady, you
Conklin.
Retain Conklin. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think if you bring in Brady, then you do
yeah,
it under
then
the
you
guise
can
of, yeah, we're
yeah.
keeping Conklin. I just don't think... You know what? I was probably 60-40, maybe 70-30. Brady was leaving, and now I'm just starting to believe he just goes back.
I think he will.
He's definitely
right?
Going.
Everything
he's
else
going
is
going back to New England.
Yeah. Everything else is imperfect. That's what he's
right.
going to assess. He's going to say, no, except there is one place that makes a ton of sense, except that, I mean, he'd get a little stink on him if he did this. He'd get more than
I know
a little.
What you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
The Raiders.
No, not the Raider. Well, that's not a good move for him. The defense is a question mark, although it's young and talented.
It's young
I
and
guess.
Talented.
Good offensive line.
They're going to get a top receiver in the draft. There's no doubt.
I just don't think he and Gruden connect. I don't think that works. Gruden wants complete control of the offense. Brady wants complete control of the offense. You know, I think that's. And then do you really want to go to a division that has Pat Mahomes in it? You know, I think that's what kind of comes to with the Chargers. It's like, okay, I'm looking around and I see Keenan Allen, I see Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler, and I got Bosa and Ingram on defense and Derwin James. Man, this is a really good team, but son of a, I got Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid over there and Tyreek Hill, and you know what I mean? It's like, that's the easiest path to the playoffs is to win your division, and if you're talking about landing somewhere instead of competing against the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins, again next year, three teams you know intimately well and three teams that you have essentially dominated your entire career, you know, why leave? Like,
well,
what could be better out there for you?
Here's the things. Here are a couple of considerations. One, our collective pal Maurice Jones-Drew wanted, when he knew he wasn't going back to Jacksonville, the first thing he said to his agent was, get me to the Colts because I want to play the Jags twice a year out of spite. Now, it didn't end up going that way, as we know. The other side of that is when Peyton was moving, he didn't want to go to Eli's conference because he didn't want that head-to-head. Right. I think Tom Brady's consideration is which of those two does he slot
the
into?
The latter. The latter.
He does 100%. Not. He doesn't want to play the Patriots. I
no.
agree with that. So the perfect
the
spot, not
the place for him where he would be a legitimate, I mean, have a real, real shot at the Super Bowl is in San Francisco. The problem is, of course, he helped get Jimmy G traded over there. Now, he likes Brady has a relationship with Kyle Shanahan, and the defense would be mighty, and he would have that nice young collection of pass catchers, and he'd have that clever run game and the great offensive line. The only issue would be, and he, you know, go back home and play, you know, watch where, you know, his idol Joe Montana did his, had his glory days. The only issue would be the weird stink of like, are you really going to do that to Jimmy G? And then from the Niners standpoint, all right, we're going to have this rental, the GOAT, for a year or maybe two, but then what are we going to do about Jimmy G? Is that plausible that he could go to the Niners? Because deep down, doesn't Kyle Shanahan know, we win Super Bowl 54 if Tom Brady's our quarterback instead right. of Jimmy G, right?
I just don't know what the money looks like. You know what I mean? I have no idea what kind of hit they take, what their cap situation is, if they can afford Tom Brady for $30-35 million a year, if other teams are willing to do that.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I know where Jimmy G can go. The New England Patriots.
That will work.
There you go.
But wait, Dave, did you just glibly say that, or do you really believe the 49ers would have won the Super Bowl with Tom Brady?
I do think they would have.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, you disagree with that?
Not with your idealized version of Tom Brady. With the Tom Brady version,
I'm not saying 2007 or whatever.
No,
that was.
But with Tom Brady that we saw playing in December and January of this year.
Mm-hmm. And I like Jimmy
I do too,
G.
Actually,
I think Jimmy G's fine. I think Jimmy G is as one of those many guys who money just sort of described, like Jared Goff. He's capable enough if the situation's right. He's fine. He's good enough, and that's a relatively strong thing to say about a guy. Like, yeah, he's good enough to win the Super Bowl if everything is right around him. Same thing as Jared Goff.
But I think that might be Tom Brady now as well. Or I think that was December and January Tom Brady of 2019.
I mean, you know, you take away one of Jimmy G's picks in the Super Bowl and they do win, you know? Isn't that right?
I guess the question is, do they have the lead? You know, I get what Hank is saying, you know, is Tom Brady still, you know, playing at an elite level where he would, you know, not make those mistakes or he would be able to get that first score? Do I think Tom Brady misses that deep pass on Emmanuel Sanders that's got two steps? No, I think he hits it.
Right.
I think there were third down plays, you know, then when they had those back-to-back three and outs where either Kittle was open. I don't know if it was Bourne. There was another one where you had receivers, and that was what we heard about Jimmy, right, is it's just he doesn't get through all of his progressions and read the whole field. And, you know, and I don't know what the hell that means, but that's just what kind of people were saying was the only issue with him. And it appeared in the, late third and fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. And I would assume that Tom Brady ain't going to have those issues. That's for sure. You know, we celebrate Andy Reid is the greatest play caller in the league. Well, Kyle Shanahan ain't far behind him. You know, I mean, when you look at some of those plays that he drew up and has drawn up throughout his career, man, you put Brady together with a guy like that that's as brilliant as that, and you can just imagine what they're getting into in the quarterback room. I mean, I think it's a great hypothetical. Dave.
I think I really think, and obviously it's one play, but think about the stakes. They, you know, obviously it looked like they were going to beat the Chiefs and Mahomes it, and they rally and suddenly they're down. And you could see Kyle Shanahan's, I guess, a little more emotive than some coaches, a little less so than others. But you could see when Jimmy G missed that ball that it was like, that was the one. That way, right. We've been called setting this up. Play. We set this up. I mean, that was the Super Bowl winning play. If Jimmy G throws a decent ball there, the Niners, well, I mean, I guess Mahomes could have taken him down
that,
the field.
Because you get Pat Mahomes 2.5
Right. Okay, maybe he takes
a 3-point deficit.
But still.
Or 4-point deficit.
Yeah. Against the best D, that would have been something to see against that Niners D. And
well,
like,
put it this way.
Hey, Bose and company, go get him. You know,
who would you have bet on in that situation? Would you say I'm team Mahomes or I'm team San Francisco defense? Because I can tell you what side I'm on.
Ooh, I love the what if. That's a fun what if. Let's do it right now. Okay. So with 2-ish minutes left in the game, Jimmy G throws a touchdown pass. Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders dances in the end zone. We're talking about he came over midseason from the Broncos. He's a veteran of Super Bowls past, and here he is making the big play. Jimmy G proving all the doubters wrong. He's 2 minutes away from hoisting the Lombardi, but Patrick Mahomes gets the ball, the best in the business. Handsome.
I think with the momentum that they had, the Chiefs go down, score a touchdown, and win the game with
what's the What's the score at that point? How much are they
I think they would have been up 4, if I remember
so
right.
It,
I think
they would have
given them a 4-point lead.
They got a house at that.
They got to score a touchdown.
Right.
And you think they do that, Handsome?
Yeah.
I think
I
inside
too.
2 minutes. I mean, we saw it from Patrick Mahomes like the week before.
I don't know, man.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that I'm not betting against that guy. You know, there's no way. There's just not with all that speed, with that talent, with his ability to extend
with
plays,
Andy
to
Reed
escape the box,
the plays.
To throw. Yeah, Andy Reid calling. Like, to me, it's just I would have – I remember it because, you know, I was doing the halftime and the post game for NFL Network for Super Bowl, and Terrell Davis said, you know, he said a great thing. Right when he missed that pass, I'll never forget it, Terrell Davis says, if he connects on that pass – everybody says, man, you left Pat Mahomes too much time. But guess what? If it was the other way around, there ain't a person out there that says, man, you left Jimmy G too much time.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect way to put it. Do you have a guy or do you not? And that's when you know you've got a guy at quarterback, you know, someone special, because that's what everybody is thinking. Like, well, we got a 4-point lead in the Super Bowl, but I don't feel good about it.
You know how that what it really kind of, now that you say TD, it makes me think of the Broncos upsetting the Packers with Brett Favre with TD as the MVP there. Who knows? Maybe Emmanuel Sanders has to lay out there and the clock spins a little bit and they have that debate. Andy Reid has the debate. Do we just give him an easy touchdown so we give Pat as much time as possible here? It might have worked out that way, and reminder that the Broncos did stop Brett Favre on that final drive, and he was the reigning MVP and all that kind of stuff. That's a fun discussion. Okay, real quick, Money. Cam Newton, is he the Chargers quarterback in 2020?
I don't think so. I going back to what you were saying about Matt Rhule and his presser and him saying that Cam is our quarterback, I think the thing to remember about Matt, about Coach Rhule, I should say, not like I know him on a first-name basis, but is what he did at Baylor, you know, and as he had to work his way through, you know, one of the most vile, sexual assault allegation cover-ups that we've heard about in a long time, and a team that was stripped bare, that was a national disgrace and was coming off a one-win season. I mean, and he's basically a drive away from being in the 4-team playoff without, you know, a bunch of 5-stars that he recruited to come in or JC transfers in a single year. I mean, that's how good of a coach Matt Rhule is. So if you're taking the Panthers job and you look around and you're like, you know what? I got Cam Newton. He's healthy. And I've got Christian McCaffrey and I got DJ Moore. And I kind of feel good about, you know, the pieces that we have, and we've got some high draft picks and we got a bunch of cap space. I mean, I've done it before. I've gone from one win to seven to darn near winning the Big 12 and finding myself in the national playoff race, you know, in the national championship chase. What the hell? I'd rather go with something that I know is a solid quality commodity at quarterback than try to figure it out and just let him walk out the door. So I actually do believe him when he says, yeah, we're going to try to wait this out and see, you know, what Cam's health looks like. And I want to just say he's my quarterback right now.
All right. And that team, you know, David Tepper hired him and gave him a long-term contract and then said, we're going to be all about analytics. We want to, you know, we want to embrace that area. It would be crazy for them to let Cam walk without knowing how healthy he is. So I think they can easily sit there for a year, have Cam on board. If Cam gets injured again or Cam doesn't play well, you've got next year's quarterbacks to go to. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers move down in the draft from their situation so that they go into the 2021 draft being able to pick the quarterback that they really want to, which probably should be Trevor Lawrence.
That's interesting. So many spots that need to be filled, though. Jameis has to go somewhere. Marcus Mariota is going to land somewhere. You know,
the history of these things, Dave, like we have a wonderful, fun conversation in January and February and early March every year. And the history of it is, unfortunately, a lot of times these are disappointing.
I agree.
Everyone goes, it's like, oh, Tom Brady's back in New England. Jameis Winston, they couldn't find a better alternative. Andy Dalton, it turns out, is going to back up Joe Burrow for a year. Like, a lot of this is just going to disappoint us.
I hear you, except Teddy B's going to go somewhere. We know that's going to happen, right? Or somebody's going to take some dumb flyer on Taysom Hill.
But Teddy B took a backup job last year. He could have gone somewhere last year, and he wound up taking a backup job. And that could happen again.
He could
be the guy that goes to Mitch Trubisky, and they say the Bears have a shootout between Teddy B and Mitch in Chicago during training camp, and then no one's ready to pull the trigger on getting rid of Mitch Trubisky, and Teddy Bridgewater's a backup for the Bears. Like, that could be the whole move. I get that it's exciting and fun to think about, but more often than not,
Don't condescend to me. I think there are plenty of moves that are going to have to happen this year. No matter if Phil Rivers is going somewhere, if he's playing.
All it takes is one domino.
Yeah.
The problem is almost everybody seems to think that Philip Rivers is coming here, where I'm sitting right now at Indianapolis.
Right.
And there's no domino that falls
there's
after
no domino.
That. It's just, we'll keep Jacoby Brissett in case Philip gets hurt because he's on a cheap, you know, he's not an expensive number. Or we'll just cut him loose, and there is no Philip Rivers doesn't go to Tampa, so now Jameis has to find a new spot. Philip Rivers doesn't go to Las Vegas, so now Derek Carr needs to find a new spot. You know what I mean? Like, it would be the one addition that wouldn't lead to anything else having to fall. But then again, look, I think Rivers, I think, is the key. You know, does he go to Carolina? Does he go to Tampa? Does he go to Las Vegas? Because that's then what will set off this chain reaction.
All right. Last thing with that in mind, and then Money goes about his business out there in Indianapolis. Money, so where we started, do you think with the Chargers, I know we've talked about this many times before on and off, the DDFP, How important do you suppose as this stadium opens? Because that's a lot of people go to that now. Like, oh, the Chargers need to make a splash.
You can't lay an egg for the first few seasons.
And I know that the Chargers do care. They don't like all the Steelers fans, Packers fans, Raiders fans, otherwise all cheering in their stadium. They don't want that in 2020. So the way you get off of that is to bring in a big brand name QB, be it whether it's Cam or Brady or otherwise. Do you suppose that? I mean, is Justin Herbert enough to make that stuff go away? It doesn't, right?
Nobody's buying season tickets for Justin Herbert.
So do you think that they're incented? Do you think Anthony Lynn? Do you think Tom Telesco? Do you think ownership is incented? Just get us Jameis. Get us somebody who will excite some people.
I don't know.
Who's going to excite? Well, yeah, Telesco is too. Right.
Tom Brady excites people and sells tickets. Cam Newton would excite people and sell tickets. And Tua Tagovailoa would excite people and sell tickets. I think those are the three. And Joe Burrow. You know, I don't think there's any question Joe Burrow would excite people because of that USC connection and how many Southern California people were invested in the LSU Tigers because of Ed Orgeron and all the people that he had on his staff and thinking, wow, this could have been us at USC. So I think there is a connection there, and Joe has some sizzle. But I think that's why the ransom is going to be so high for Tua, is I think you have two teams that are going to be willing to throw a lot of draft equity at it. And it's going to be a bidding war between the Chargers and the Dolphins. I really believe that. And I think the Dolphins have so much more that they're able to give up because of the trades of Minkah Fitzpatrick and Laremy Tunsil. They've got those extra ones, and they can get rid of all three this year and still have two next year and say, we've got a quarterback we believe in to sell to our fans that everyone's going to be jazzed about for the next 15 years. And that's why it's worth it. Like, once you find that quarterback, there is no price that's too high. There just isn't. It's too important of a position. And it's too important for, you know, I mean, and Hank, as a fan of the Dolphins, you know, for a team that has struggled to get fans in there and is very self-conscious about, just like the Chargers are, opposing fans coming to cheer for their team when they come to Miami because it's a destination for these cold weather cities and they feel like it's a walkover and they can get tickets because the fan base has suffered greatly in the face of their failures as of late. So,
and because of not having a quarterback, to your point.
Right.
Like that, you know, for teams, you know, as a Chargers employee, have been blessed with Philip Rivers. Dave and the Steelers have not sat for 15 years now with a franchise quarterback. When you go,
I was told 15, that the Steelers were secretly hoping.
I heard that as well, but it turns out it wasn't true. Oh. 15 or 20 years of literally year to year having quarterbacks that are terrible. It's just not that's a miserable existence.
The one other thing, and I don't expect a fulsome answer out of you, Money, as we let you go here, is the other thing that is plausible, and
about to throw Josh Rosen at you, as he could sell tickets.
We're letting him go. The thing I'll say is there is a chance that Tua, in these next 2 months, will emerge as the better pick over Burrow. The assumption that Burrow is 100% definitely the first overall has a chance to get changed here by Tua.
I mean, everybody that I've talked to down here is pretty set on Burrow.
Yeah,
there aren't a lot of there's a couple.
It'll take is one good pro day. Well, like whoa, Tua looks ready to roll.
But then the Bengals still. If you're that invested in one guy already, and even if someone else sneaks up on you like Tua, it's like that you can't take the risk on the injuries.
I know,
if
but 12 months ago, there was no debate between Tua and...
Sure.
Yeah, here's what I would say, though, Dave. I think Burrow has got just as much sizzle. I really do. There is so much heat on him down here and so much celebration. You've got guys comparing him to Andrew Luck, talking about Drew Brees and just the accuracy, the anticipation, the ability to read a full field, to distribute the football, the DJ stuff. That came out of his conversation with Burrow was fascinating, right? That when Joe Barry got there and they were adjusting the protections from max protect down to five linemen so they could get more guys out in the pattern, and because he was just so quick to dissect and chew up a defense that's when he really took off. And LSU just wasn't used to that because they didn't have, they had such a dominant defense that they were used to having a quarterback that was that good. And that's why there was kind of that bump last year before they realized it, this year. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of what's important to recognize is you do have two. And you know what? I'll plant the seed. And again, this is not me sharing my opinion, just kind of what I'm hearing. Don't be surprised if Jordan Love finds himself in that conversation as to
coming out
of his pro day. There is some, you know, it's hard to not to have so many people make a Pat Mahomes comparison and not get fan bases jazzed. And they're going to see it tomorrow. We're doing this on Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday when the quarterbacks are throwing around. They'll see it. And they're going to see that arm talent. And they're going to see those throws that remind you a lot of the way Patrick Mahomes was able to throw. And
it's
that's
the copycat league money.
Yeah,
exactly. Spaghetti. We had these conversations about exactly. Lamar Jackson wins the Super Bowl. Taysom Hill's name is hotter than it is right now, and other guys out there. Oh, is this guy maybe
Jalen
potentially?
Hurts is a hotter
could we
name.
Maybe do this instead? Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl. Oh, Jordan Love has some of those same attributes. Raw, but big. Oh, all the talent in the world. Imperfect technique, but.
I think in the next 2 weeks, he overtakes Justin Herbert as the
100%.
As the number three guy.
I'm with you, man. All right, yeah. Listen, Money, go all have guys. have a gay time. Go eat that horseradish sauce, all that all that stuff. Have a great time. We'll look forward to seeing
you
back
guys down here.
Have fun, Money.
Money keeps on plugging away with Petros on PMS this week, right?
Exactly. I'm on my way to do that now, and I'll be back on there on Friday.
There he goes, the great Matt Money Smith, everybody. Some great insights from the Hoosier State there. Center City, you know, that they have like
the
exact
round
spot.
We call it a roundabout where I'm from.
Is that right? That circle thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A roundabout.
All right, a roundabout. I don't know what any of that is. Spaghetti, what did you think of Matt Money Smith? Were you impressed by him today?
I was. I was very grateful for his insight in the Giants scenario, this weird quarterback where it seems like no quarterback is safe no matter what, you know, team they're on, their free agency status. It's just a very crazy time. But unfortunately, like Hank said, that in a month or so it'll look like it'll
well, no, you know what? I think as soon as our next podcast, we need to do that. And if you want to go ahead and throw it out there right now, Handsome, you can do it. We did it a year ago. How many QBs will move? How did we do it last year exactly?
I don't remember because you, I think it was because you.
I think I said there will be 10 QBs.
10
new QBs.
Starting QBs.
Yeah. How many new QBs in 2020?
It's going to be difficult to.
And we're not counting injuries and stuff like Sam Darnold.
Okay, the AFC
had
East,
had
and we're talking about opening day starters.
Yeah, except for like, the incumbent had mono or those kind of
things. Yeah. AFC is zero. I think at the
AFC is zero.
AFC East.
Oh, okay.
Right. I believe Brady stays with the Patriots. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick starts for the Dolphins opening day.
I like my Niners one. As bad as I would feel for Jimmy
I think it would be
some story.
I can't wait for someone will be saying that in the national media.
If you were a fan of the Niners, I can tell you, I say, that's not a rivalry per se. I mean, it's not a rivalry on any level except in terms of Lombardi count.
Yep.
But would you, if you're a Niners fan, I can tell you, having been bitten by the Tom Brady snake as a Steeler fan and in the Lombardi count, I want no part of Tom Brady. I'd rather have a losing season without Tom Brady than win the Super Bowl with him. That would be a disgrace, you know? But the Niners,
I think they could live with it. Okay, while you've been talking, I think I've, in my head, three in the AFC.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Colts.
Okay.
And I think Phil Rivers winds up there. The Chargers, because they have a
they have to
fill.
Have one. Do you think it is somebody splashy, or is it Tyrod Taylor?
I think it's probably the quarterback that they draft, which might be Jordan Love.
Yeah, they won't start him though. They'll make it Tyrod Taylor. They'll do love with the Browns.
But still
a new
quarterback.
Right.
Still a new starting
Correct.
Quarterback. And the Bengals because they're going to have Joe Burrow and it won't be Andy Dalton. So that's my three in the AFC. In the NFC, none in the NFC East. I think ultimately the Bears probably bring in someone for competition for Mitch, but I don't think, you know, I think they probably start the season with Mitch, barring something crazy. The South, I think Cam does go back to Carolina. And then the NFC West, it's the same.
I think
I know it's terribly disappointing, but.
It's not disappointing. It's fine. See, Cam, I think, moves. I think they. I've heard enough, and who's loved Cam? You know who's
Cam in the Hall of Fame midway through his rookie season.
I think Cam is one of those guys that I guess I don't know if Tepper and then down to Rule. I know that the franchise is kind of like Cam is a handful, you know?
Sure.
With the ego and all that. And by the way, all starting QBs have big egos. But for whatever reason, Cam and that environment, I've heard enough about like
the only
guys coming out of there.
The if Cam goes, it's a direct signal that the Panthers are doing a Dolphins and pulling the ripcord on the 2020 season and just saying, we're done. We'll bring in Tyrod, Andy Dalton, whoever can help us lose games without it being that obvious that that's what we're doing, with the goal of getting Trevor Lawrence in 2021.
By the way,
which would make so much sense for them in that state, you know, wanting to sell tickets and everything else. It would be a great move, but you've got to be kind of ballsy to do that in the NFL these days.
Here's the thing that I don't have a good comp for Tua. Maybe it's the left-handedness that throws me off, that it's hard for me to find the proper...
As a left-handed passer yourself.
Yeah.
And
you see one
as well.
You and I should really... We should have some time with Tua. Me, you, and Steve Young and Mike Vick should get together. Yeah, we really could have a good group.
If that group, just quickly now, rank the quarterbacks.
Young, Vick, Tebow.
Me.
Oh, no, handsome, Tebow. Right, yeah.
You, Tua, Tebow.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that you got what it takes upstairs.
Oh, come on.
I'm not saying that you're unintelligent, but I don't think you're a leader of men in the way I would be.
Fine.
Coming into the huddle. Spaghetti, who would you rather have as your starting quarterback?
Between that entire group? Or you?
No, between me and Handsome.
Just from the sheer size of your offensive line, you need a little bit of height. So...
Also, you've just
I'm Mike Bloomberg now. I'm not a little man. What are you talking
about? You're 5'9 or 10.
Dave,
the Giants have just offloaded an ancient quarterback. You think they're going to bring in a 58-year-old Damashek? That doesn't make sense.
All right, so that's enough of that. I don't know what's going to be. Who do you? Oh, what I was going to say about, I can't think of Tua, but Joe Burrow. You know who I think he is. This will upset, I guess, Bengals or whoever winds up with him, and maybe I'm underselling him, but he's had a borderline Hall of Fame career to this point. Matt Ryan, that's who he is, right? That's who he ends up being.
But
which is good.
But
won an MVP. He's just not the transformational, like, win no matter who else is out there with him kind of guy.
I'm with you, but that year when he was drafted, the Miami Dolphins had the first overall pick. They chose Jake Long, and that seems a long, long time ago. And if you look at it, on its face, yes, it made sense that, you know, Jake Long was supposed to be the best left tackle, blah, 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 blah. But actually, when it comes down to it, taking a guy who, you know, Matt Ryan has probably been throughout his career somewhere between the 8th and 12th best quarterback in the NFL, that's great. That's all you need.
I don't know.
It's going to get you to a Super Bowl. It's going to keep you, like, mostly in contention.
But you got to but everything's got to go just right. Yeah. And they were there and they had it and then they missed it. And now 4 years later, it's like, yeah, the Falcons stink and they're in the great abyss kind of a vibe. Hey, Spaghetti, I'm going to guess we've gone for 41 minutes.
I'm going to say 56.
It's 52.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll cut it off.
But it was all great.
Did you enjoy the conversation? It was very football.
It was great, and then money left, and then I felt like it went downhill. And I think people will understand that.
Do you want to give your friend behind the glass there a chance to take her shot at No Time to Die? Spaghetti, yes. You didn't take your shot.
Yeah, come on, Eddie. Let's hear your time
for
the
next one.
No. I'd like you to try it now.
To die.
We have time for you to try.
I don't even know the lyrics.
There are.
What are you talking about, you bum? What does that mean?
There are no lyrics.
While you come up with that, the other thing that we talked about after Rashawn Evans left studio the other day was Mo Damashek was just in town.
How is Mo? Why didn't you come and see me?
She's just great. She's had a great time. Although she and the old man reported back that they did not get into their home in Pittsburgh, PA this morning until 3:15 a.m.
Why? What were they doing? Out partying?
The worst thing is connecting flights. If you can avoid a connecting flight, don't do it. Unfortunately, there's no nonstop from L.A. to Pittsburgh these days, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
But anyway, they had to connect, and they didn't get home till 3-something. But anyway, as we were driving about and talking about this, that, and the other, the name Eddie Spaghetti came up, and she said, he's very nice.
He is very nice.
I really like him.
Why do you sound surprised about that?
Why don't she? Well, what kind of made me think a little bit is Mo Damashek does. You know, she piqued my inquisitive to look within about what the answer is to this. She said he's very nice. His girlfriend though is beautiful. I mean, Eddie Spaghetti is he's a nice looking boy, but I mean, she's beautiful. And then that now has me turn to you, handsome. Is Jada too attractive for Eddie Spaghetti? Did you ask Jada this, by the way, Spaghetti?
I totally forgot yesterday. She was very busy yesterday. I totally forgot to bring it up, but I will bring it up today.
Not only is she very beautiful, but you're all right with me saying that about your girlfriend, Eddie, but she's also incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like another layer. It's like, this does not fit.
Right. It's like when Liz Taylor married the construction guy.
Right.
Except that she was 68 years old.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not at my peak right now.
when will you be at your peak? We've all been waiting. Everyone's sitting here on tenterhooks waiting for you to be at your peak.
I was on vacation recently. And I'm like, all right, when I come back, I'm going to be kicking into high gear. And then
then it turns out that this week is Thai food week.
Jewish deli all in a row. So it's not good. But you know what? Today I've been good, and today is the first day.
Do you ever think your peak might be behind you?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sometimes it frightens me. But I have I'm pretty good willpower, and I do, you know, make myself go to the gym.
What, willpower to eat more? Well, oh, yeah.
Look, I've lost a chunk of weight.
I'm full, but I can still eat.
I could do it again. That's the reason why.
You don't need to. I'm not saying you need to lose weight. I'm just saying, like, overall. I think she is still on the way up, and I think if anything, you've plateaued. And
is there such a thing? I
down.
Guess there is, but that's a funny phrase. You're damning yourself with faint praise with the "I have pretty good willpower." Like it's like you either have it or you don't, right?
No,
isn't that one of those things? Kind of an absolute.
I think it wavers. Depends on how determined.
Depends how good looking the food is on the menu. If it looks good, then I don't have willpower.
Depends how hungry I am.
If I'm at a salad bar, then I got plenty of willpower. Unless I got the nice pudding. I like salad bars with pudding.
My willpower, I'll announce in 2020 my willpower is back.
Big news, everybody. Just in time for the NFL draft. How about that? All right, good time. Spaghetti had some use your noodle questions for us, but we didn't even get to them. We didn't need them.
Combine-related.
They were draft-related.
They were draft-related.
Okay, we've got months for that.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that maybe on our next one. In the meantime, thanks to Matt Money Smith. Make sure you check him out on AM 570 and Handsome Hank. Thanks, as always, to you, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, and you, the listener. We'll be back next week. Ooh, in the meantime, make sure you go back and check out two really good shows with Kyle Long last week. And Rashawn Evans, really some good conversations there with a couple of high-profile guys from the world of pro football. And like I say, we'll be back to Kibitz with you next week. Until then, thanks so much. It's been a thin slice of heaven.